I'm Dr. Ann Taylor with eKundaliniYoga.com. So let's talk about love. I think it has to begin with self-love, being grateful for who you are and embracing that precious gift. When you're aligned with your authentic self, your dharma, your higher self, whatever term you choose, there is a radiant beauty that begins to emanate from your heart center. Love is the gift that allows you to merge with others and eliminate fear and the illusion of our separateness. It breaks down the barriers between you and me, them and us. Beauty and love stand together. And I'm not talking about the cosmetic sense of the word. Beauty emanates when you're in harmony with your authentic self. You're fulfilling who you were born to be. And every connection becomes an I-thou connection based on love. Thank you. AnnTaylor.com. Ann with an...
Hello, this is Shay. Love feels like heaven. Fear feels like the...
Michelle in Seattle. Love is laughing wildly while playing Pictionary with your kids. Love is the sweet, succulent burst of summer's first strawberry. Love is allowing the sun's rays to caress every area of your body, seeping in the warmth of God deep into your soul. Love is smiling for no good reason, which inspires a return smile from another. And when I remember to love, all of the little love moments are what make up my life. And then I love my life with a big L. Michelle with one L at the Dr. Pat Show.
Nice to meet your world. My name is Kamisha, and I'm honored to share this space with you at this amazing global event. Fear freezes our prosperity and the many blessings this world has to offer. It is a tool, yes, but too many of us use it as a crutch. It keeps us from achievement, health, wealth, opportunities, people who may have otherwise enriched our lives. We create this fear from the actions of few and allow it to run us. I'm taking control back today with love. Love creates, love protects, love encourages, love educates, love heals, love is fulfillment. It produces infinite bounty and possibilities, and is the one thing that can sustain us. I choose love, and when you put love in the equation of all things, there's no telling what miracles you can create. It's just natural law. Thank you. I am so proud to be part of this worldwide vibration. It's the most important thing that we could do right now. Just love.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Out of the Fog. We are broadcasting live today as part of One the Event, a global webcast and gathering designed to help us make a collective shift from the fear and hate of the past decade to love and unity as we move forward together. I'm Karen Hager, host of Blog Talk Radio's Out of the Fog, and coming October 19th to Transformation Talk Radio and the mighty WBLQ in New England. You can find out more about me and my work at fogcitypsychic.com. On Saturday, September 17th, I am part of a class called Facing Fear, Intuitive Tools for Transformation. That is a class that I'm teaching with Anne-Marie Odell, who some of you may know. What we're going to be doing in that class is teaching people how to identify and move past their fear-based blocks. So if that's something that speaks to you, there's more information on my website, fogcitypsychic.com. Now, let's get right to the next guest. Raven Martirosian of Shavaya Wellness is a healer, artist, and tarot reader. She is the author of The Reluctant Tarot Reader, Adventures in the Gypsy Trade. Her essay, Christian LGBT Kids, You're Part of the Plan, is included in the New York Times best-selling anthology, It Gets Better. Raven created and hosted the popular blog talk radio show Tarot Talk in 2009. She's the author of three additional books, Spirit Flow, A Photographic Prayer, Esprit Vol, Prière Photographique, and Chrysalis, Poems of Release. She has an MA in English and taught English for many years in New York City and Vermont public schools. Raven is living happily in Vermont, where she comes to us tonight. Visit ShivayaWellness.com to find out more. Raven, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Hi, Karen. It's been far too long since we've connected.
It has been too long. Did you hear me speaking French, by the way?
I did. I was so impressed. I was like, oh, she's just going to skip over that one.
Well, I was thinking about she wrote some English books and then some French one and then just, like, not say the thing.
I didn't write the French one. I had a woman in Paris translate it, but it was a great, great effort. It was better than I could have ever done.
One of the wonderful things about that book is the way that you're a really accomplished photographer, and your images to me capture the essence, the unspoken kind of energy or vibration of objects in nature, if that makes sense. And that book takes some really evocative photographs of yours and pairs them with language that's just beautiful. Can you say a little bit about how you came to create that book?
Sure. I had just finished a photographic project for Pyramid Wellness. I do greeting cards with my photos as well. And I was sort of impatiently pushing my muse and saying, what's next? What's next? And as I drove home, there was a rushing river in Vermont. As you probably all know, we have a few. As I saw the river, the words started coming to me, spirit flow, spirit flow, spirit flow. And I saw the book matched up, words matched up with photos. And I tried to make it as simple as possible. I just have one line for each photo, and I tried to make it very simple because nature speaks so much more clearly and beautifully than I can ever capture. And that was just my way of saying thanks to the great artist. And I'm just putting out my work so that people can enjoy it and hopefully heal from it as well.
Wow. And that book is available on your website, right? For download?
That's right. And through Amazon, if you have a Kindle, and through Barnes & Noble, Nook.
Wow. You're all over the... I'm going to treat you with more respect. You're all over the place.
I'm trying.
Now,
it's a brand new world out there with those e-books.
Yes, it's true. That is true, and it has made it possible for more people to get their work out there. But then the flip side of that is that it's made it possible for more people to get their work out there, right?
So that's true.
You know, it means that to get to the good stuff, you really have to be discerning. And just take it from me, folks. Her work is the good stuff. So check out Raven's work. Now, how is your life different today than it was 10 years ago? I'm wondering.
Vastly different. And thankfully so, because 10 years ago I was living in New York City and I had just started my second year of teaching in the South Bronx. I was teaching at a middle school. And, you know, it was a great experience then, but I was becoming pretty angry and uptight about life, and I didn't really see a clear direction for myself. And in your 20s, you know, there's time to explore those things and be frustrated by them. By the time I hit 30, I figured, oh, I should know how to get through these things. And things weren't changing for me, and it became a real frustrating time. And I was becoming afraid that it was going to be a perpetual pattern for the rest of my life. But teaching was a great way for me to get out of my head for a while and really start sharing my gifts. And it was an invaluable experience for the work I do now. But, yeah, 10 years ago, I was a very, very different person, and I'm much more happy and less angry at this point.
And do you remember what you were doing or where you were on 9/11 10 years ago today?
I do, distinctly. I was working in the South Bronx, and I was teaching my 8th grade class on tense, which I didn't do too many grammar lessons. I was much more of a literature type of teacher, but I distinctly remember that day I was talking about tense and trying to teach them various tenses, and all of a sudden kids started getting pulled out of my class, and I was like, what's up, you know? It was hard enough to keep control in a South Bronx classroom, and so you don't want kids coming in and out. But various teachers started pulling kids out, and I didn't know what was going on. It was around 8:30, 8:40, and all of a sudden the principal's voice came on the loudspeaker, and I joked with my kids, and I said, ooh, she sounds tense. And then, you know, of course, within a few minutes, I talked to the dean and I found out what had happened, and that's when everything changed. But it was, you know, I didn't know what was happening at that point. You know, even just being in the city, I was just sort of in my little bubble in my classroom.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Part of the theme of this event today is to help people shift from the hatred and the fear that those events brought up for a lot of us and try to shift that to a feeling of love and unity so that we can have some healing. When you think about making that shift from fear to love, what does that mean to you?
Well, that's a great question and a complex question.
Right.
And I actually, basing it just on what happened in Vermont, I know we're concentrating on 9/11, but just recently, as I'm sure you know, we had a pretty devastating flood in Vermont.
Right.
About 2 weeks ago, and many of the communities that are my home were devastated by the flood, and a lot of Army trucks have been coming back and forth through the state, you know, to rebuild the roads and to help people who have been displaced, and it brought back a lot of memories of 9/11, because I was in the city, and I, you know, the next day when the towers were hit, I'd walk down to Canal Street, because that was as far as they let you go, and, you know, I saw it all, you know, I saw the people with their signs on their chests, and I saw everything, and there were people who were running, you know, down in the park, and it seemed like things were normal, but it wasn't. And we were trying to sort of bring this sort of sense of normalcy when there wasn't. And with these Army trucks that I saw in Vermont, I went back to that place of panic a couple of times. And, you know, I'm a pretty upbeat kind of person. You know, I like to stay positive. And, but I remembered 9/11, and I realized that, it's acknowledging that we are afraid. And part of it is just acknowledging your own fear and that it's okay to be afraid and allowing that emotion to happen, because it's so easy to just say, oh, well, I'm going to go out for a run in the park and we'll be fine and everything's fine and no problem. And I get it as a survival mode, but it's really important to let those emotions come up and be welcomed in mm-hmm. your mental and, you know, heart space. And I think it's just important to acknowledge your humanity. The problem that comes with fear and panic is to believe that that's the only story out there, that that's the only way that humans can behave when tragedy comes or when devastation comes. And I just don't operate with that type of thinking. I really believe that all of these events are to help us become more conscious and to become more aware and to become more kind to our fellow human being, because instead of encouraging a sense of separateness, it really allows us a sense of, oh, we really are all connected. We really are part of this whole picture together.
Right. Right. And it, my recollection of those events is that what it did was draw a very clear line between us and them. I was asking my son, my oldest son was just about to turn 2 10 years ago. And I was asking him today what he had heard about it in school, if he knew what this was that we were having all these things about. And he said that it was about how the bad guys came and struck at the good guys. And of course, it's much more complex than that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when we divide our world into bad guys and good guys, we miss that opportunity for growth and unity. It doesn't mean there are no bad guys or that fear is always wrong. As you're saying, sometimes fear is there for a reason. But it does mean that when I immediately put up that wall between the two of us, then I've lost the chance to connect with you on any level.
Right. And, you know, we can view life in terms of big events, 9/11, the floods in Vermont, the day my mom died. Or we can look at it as how do we act every day? You know, when we walk into the store and get a cup of coffee, what's our behavior towards other people? How do we drive? What, you know, are we creators or are we destroyers? It all comes back to our own personal action every day that creates this environment. So, you know, to say you're right, bad or good, it's just a sense of separation that is works for a lot of people, because it creates a "This world's for me, not for you. I'm the better person. You're the bad person." And it really does just cause and perpetuates loneliness.
Oh, that's a good way to say it. It does perpetuate loneliness. And you can be lonely in a crowd. as well as being lonely right on your own. My guest is Raven Martirosian of Shivaya Wellness. You can find out more about Raven and her work at www.shivayawellness.com. That's S-H-I-V-A-Y-A wellness.com. Now, your new book, Raven, The Reluctant Tarot Reader, comes out tomorrow, except that I'm reading it before everybody else. When you are talking about that kind of loneliness and that, the image that I get with that is just being put into a really tight box. One of the things that you talk about in your book is the move from a very narrow idea of what was allowed for you, what you were allowed to do, because of the religious upbringing that you had, to when your field was kind of widened and you had a more expansive view. Can you say a little bit about that, especially as it relates to this love and fear idea?
Sure. Well, you know, growing up, I grew up as a fundamentalist Christian, and there are varying types of Christianity, and the one that I grew up in was pretty narrow for me as a woman. But it takes a long time to process through, and I think as you become an adult, or as I became an adult, I was making a choice of whether or not I was going to buy into what I believed, or I was going to examine it and really see if it fit with my worldview that I was creating, and if it allowed expansiveness and freedom, or it allowed me to stay in a prison. And at that point, it was no one else's fault or blame. I couldn't blame anyone else, because when I became an adult or I became conscious, it was a matter of what was I going to believe in and think about and grow from. And it really is a process that, you know, I was listening to your previous guest, and it does mean that we should give ourselves time to have grace and forgiveness on our younger self. Because for me, I imagined a life when I was in my teenage years. I thought I was going to be a missionary, an English teacher, a veterinarian. And, you know, those dreams didn't come true. I went on another path. And part of it is having forgiveness and grace for what we thought our lives would be and what we thought we were going to grow up believing. And to allow things to change, because it's easy to get stuck in limiting thoughts. And you don't have to be religious to be limited. You know, you could be a New Ager and be limited. It doesn't matter. It's all about when you're walking through this world, are you allowing yourself freedom and freedom for others, or are you allowing limitation and self-imposed prisons? And when you take your one singular action every day for how you behave with other people and what you are giving to Mother Earth, because she's obviously part of this too, you'll see very distinctly whether it allows freedom or it continues this limitation is really what I like to think of it as. Not so much that it was wrong, the wrong teaching of my religion. It was just limiting.
And it's an interesting way to look at it, that the limits of what you had before you growing up are actually the things that allowed you to have the wider view that you have now. Without those limits, you never would have, or maybe never would have had the broader view that you've come to now. It's a great way to look
right.
at that.
That's right. And it doesn't, and again, I mean, it doesn't just remain in this world of religion. It could be in any sort of ideology or belief system.
You have an essay that you contributed to the It Gets Better project, the book that came out with that. That's a New York Times bestselling book, and Raven's essays in there. When I think about growing up as a gay person and not knowing what to do, and I think of all the gay and lesbian youth who are bullied and harassed in the schools, how can someone who's having a rotten life right now, how can somebody who maybe is actively being bullied or is feeling unwanted as they are right now, how can they start to make that shift for themselves, even in
a
lousy situation?
Right, it depends. Do you mean someone who is in their teenagers being bullied, or an adult who's being bullied?
Well, I think I'm talking about teenagers, and I'm also thinking about adults too. I wonder how any of us who feel like we're in a lousy situation, a situation that can't continue, how do we start to get out of that by making that shift?
Well, for teenagers, I think it's a little bit more difficult because they are in situations that they can't really control. But certainly if communication is one thing. And it's not necessarily with their parents because many gay teens don't feel safe with their parents or if they're in a church. But it's important to find a safety net. And that's why I'm glad that the Internet is here, because there are so many people to connect to who are wonderful and who can help during those years. And It Gets Better is a wonderful project. And it's one of many that, that gives understanding and safety to gay teens until they get can get to a place where they can explore the questions on their own. And many of them will do that once they leave home at 18. When you're an adult and you're in a bullying situation, for example, if you remain in a church that continues to spout beliefs about gay people that you don't agree with, well, you're perpetuating the bullying against yourself and against those gay teens who are in those churches. You know, gay teens aren't just bullied in schools. They're bullied in churches, churches who preach Christ's love. And it's really important to understand that if you're a part of that, you are perpetuating the hatred and the bullying. And part of it in acknowledging that is to say, okay, I can't tolerate this anymore. I'm either going to speak up about it, or I'm going to leave the church, or I'm going to find a way through this. Because it's a singular responsibility when we see someone being bullied to decide what we want to do about it. And, you know, there are times in my life where I've walked past situations where I could have done something, and I'm not proud about it, but I understand why people do that. You don't want to be bothered. It's not my problem. I'm not being bullied. However, we're all connected. And so it makes it our responsibility. And I say a lot in my book about how our actions right now don't just heal ourselves, but it heals the generations to come. Like, we are uploading information to future generations by our behavior right now. So, again, we can waste all of our lives blaming someone else and saying, you're the bad guy. Or we can say, what's my singular action and responsibility in this life right now to heal myself? Because as you can take responsibility to heal yourself, it automatically helps to heal the people around you, because you're becoming more open and more aware about things. And I feel as though that is probably the one way that you can feel strong in knowing that you're helping someone who feels helpless and is bullied.
It's very powerful stuff, and when you talk about bullying, I'm just guided to say that there are a lot of grown-ups, too, who are feeling bullied by life or bullied by circumstance. And I love the idea of us allowing ourselves to take the steps that bring healing to ourselves. I think you're right. We had talked just a little bit about the idea of, before we came on the air, about the idea of 2012 and the idea about where we were heading. I know that a lot of people are awakening spiritually right now, and I know that I'm having the sense that time is speeding up and that we are really being called to the next level of kindness and unity and compassion and awareness. Is that your sense as well?
I do feel that, and I certainly saw it during the floods in Vermont, where there is such, and I love my state, and there's such an open-heartedness here with people who just, you know, dive in and help. You don't even have to ask. They're just there. But I also I would be negligent if I didn't mention the earth. You know, the earth, it's not just being kind to others. It's being kind to the earth and giving healing energy towards the earth. So, for example, when a hurricane or a tropical storm encroaches on land, what's our behavior towards it? What's our attitude towards the weather? Do we call Mother Nature different negative names? Do we anticipate the worst? You know, it's not just about how we behave towards humans, it's how we behave towards this earth because of the interconnectedness of it all. And I do see a lot of changes that are happening. Many people find my website looking for 2012, and I think they're kind of disappointed because I'm always saying, hey, you know, it's not 2012, it's today. And how are you behaving today? You know, it doesn't matter what any psychic says about 2012. We create the experience that we have. And we are either creators or destroyers, depending on how we act every day. What are we believing about ourselves and about our bodies? How are we treating the person next to us? You know, how are we speaking about the earth? What are we doing to bring healing to places of anguish? So it really comes back to a self-responsibility, more than being worried about what's going to happen in 2012.
With just a couple of minutes left, can you say something about your work and how you help encourage healing in people who work with you?
Sure. I just love working with people because I encourage them to get in touch with their inner healer. And I call myself a cosmic cheerleader. I don't have the answers, but I love working with people, and I love helping them reconnect with their own powerful intuition, especially women. And that's where I get my greatest thrill, is to be able to work with people and see the magic of that happening, because we all have it. You know, it's just a matter of reconnecting with it and spending time with it.
That's true. We all have that power. It's just a lot of times we need to be reminded that we have it, to remember it, to recollect. I love that idea of collecting yourself in the old sense of the word, to recollect our power, to remember what it is and step into it. And you do that, Raven, through your intuition, through tarot, through your work as a writer and as a photographer, through many, many different ways. Now, your new book, The Reluctant Tarot Reader, which I've already read, and you guys haven't, it's available starting tomorrow. Now, you have offered to give away a copy of the book to people who are listening today. You've got one copy going. How can people enter to win this book?
Well, you know what, Karen? I've actually upped it to 3 copies, because I love 3. It's the goddess number, so why not?
Okay.
What they need to do is just come to my website, Shavaya Wellness, and if they look on the side where the widgets are, they can sign up to my mailing list, which you can easily unsubscribe. It's not like I'm going to hold you there. You just need to give me a mailing and an email address, and then just confirm it. The first 3 people who sign up get a free copy of The Reluctant Tarot Reader and learn all of my deep, dark secrets.
Oh, there's deep, dark... Oh, I'm going to have to go back and read.
Oh, you haven't gotten there yet? Oh,
no,
yeah.
I must not.
Just wait.
Raven, thank you so much for being on Out of the Fog today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Karen.
You're welcome. Please do visit shivayawellness.com. That's S-H-I-V-A-Y-A wellness.com to find out all Raven's dark secrets and to order her books. I can vouch for her personally as a very skilled intuitive. She is something else. So check out her website, please. Now that's about all the time that we have in this special live broadcast. Would you please visit fogcitypsychic.com and click on everything? I often say that this is I made the website myself, and when you get there, you'll know. Click on everything. No, go ahead. The class on this coming Saturday is something that might be of interest to you. That's called Intuitive Tools for Transformation. That's all at fogcitypsychic.com. Seth Godin put this in his blog this morning, and I think it's a great way to end the program. He blogs at sethgodin.typepad.com. He wrote, "I remember 10 years ago like it was yesterday, looking out the window of my office and wondering if it, all of it, was over. I remember those who suffered and were lost, and those brave enough to risk everything. Not sure we'll ever forget, or if we should. But now, more than ever, I believe we have an obligation to stand up, stand out, and to do work that matters. Wherever you are, there's an opportunity to be different with respect." This is Karen Hager, and I hope I've helped lead you out of the fog. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.
I used to be afraid, and now I love. I feel like fear just cripples you and love frees you. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing and changing from fear to love and showing people that that's the only way. I love, I love, I love. I no longer fear.
My name is Don Smith. I'm the trusted guardian of the I Am Energy. You can find me at iamenergy.ca. We are here in this third dimension of duality to recognize the illusion of separation and to make the journey back to oneness. What happened on 9/11, 10 years ago, was the ultimate separation experience, creating feelings of gigantic loss, grief, anger, and hatred, with the rippling effects of constriction felt all around the world. This weekend is a grand opportunity to bring ourselves back to oneness, a time when millions of people on our planet are connecting to powerfully dissolve the illusions of separation and loss, and to further raise the consciousness of humanity by returning to and uniting in our true nature of compassion and unconditional love. I have taken a number of clients through the I Am Energy process that allowed them to release all of the constrictions caused by this travesty, one as recent as yesterday, 10 years after the fact. What a truly wonderful feeling to watch someone release all that grief and loss in a few hours and see them become fully alive once again. An open heart is the only way to heal. Open and connected is our natural state. The power of millions of people joining together on this day can change the world forever by raising the consciousness with the unity of
Hi, this is Anna Luque, author of The Yoga Diet. Based on scientific research, this lifestyle has been carefully formulated to promote weight loss and boost the immune system. The Yoga Diet will help you achieve...